You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Yep, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, glad to bring somebody on with whom I was proud to serve for 8 years in Montgomery. State Senator Arthur Orr hails from Decatur. He has been serving in the Alabama State Senate District 3, I believe it is, since 2006. He is currently the chairman of the education budget in Alabama, the they call it the Finance and Taxation Education Committee. That places him in a position of leadership within the Alabama State Senate in our Republican supermajority. Glad to have him on the show. Arthur Orr, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing fine. It's a pretty day out there, but I sit in an office without a window. So kind of like you there, I guess, in the radio station. But look forward to 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and getting out in some of this weather.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, and we never had any windows in the State House either. I mean, you would literally not even know it was raining outside till you walked out. But, hey, listen Arthur, without any further ado, let me get into a couple of topics that are going on. You guys have, what, 7, 8 legislative days left? How many have you got?
7 days. Seven legislative days are left.
Okay. All right. 7 legislative days left right now. One of the bills that's currently moving has gotten a lot of attention lately is yours. It's referred to as the Numeracy Act, but it's basically the bill that you brought that would put math coaches, across the state. Tell us about the bill, but tell us why it's so controversial all of a sudden. There's a lot of talk about Common Core being mixed up in the bill. Give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah, the bill, Phil, to kind of cut to the chase, the bill does nothing to promote Common Core or anything like that. The original filed version had some vague references, but it also repealed Common Core. So it took the vague references out. There was no intent to have any type of Common Core. But again, we're talking about math. And, you know, if it were Common Core based on history or social studies or something like that, I'd be a little bit more alarmed. But, you know, it is just numbers and how numbers are taught. And the main criticism that the Eagle Forum and others have is, let's go back to 2005 or 2002 or 2008, whenever, before the days of the dreaded Common Core, and so let's go back to those days with our math standards, because back then we didn't do that great, but we did a lot better than we're doing now in mathematics. So go back to the old school, and that'll mean everything will turn out well. Well, the problem is the country as a whole has moved on, and the NAEP, the National Assessment Test for Mathematics and for Reading, that's the gold standard of testing, and that's the one that is used across state lines to compare Alabama versus Oregon or Alabama versus Mississippi and to see how we're doing. Those standards have changed. So in 2019, the state got together, the state school board, they got a commission to rewrite our Alabama math standards. And at that time, they did their best to preclude any Common Core elements that may be in there. But we still had to comport with the NAEP testing standards to make sure our students are learning what they need to learn to do well on the test. So fast forward to a year or two, nothing's going on in math as far as, you know, what are we doing to address our 52nd place in the country in eighth grade math and 49th in fourth grade math per the latest NAEP scores.
Yeah, awful.
And so that's the reason I put the bill together. And this is a bill that's actually getting a lot of attention across the country from math experts. It was written by math experts, not those that are in the administrative world or the bureaucratic world, but actually math teachers and people who have spent years in the classrooms and then supporting those in the classroom. So right, it does
a lot, but the
Common Core boogeyman, I think, is just a red herring. It's turned into a campaign football for Tim James and others to bat around. But I bet good old Tim has not even read the bill and couldn't tell Common Core from, I guess, Uncommon Core.
Well, now I had the opportunity this weekend to listen to Lindy Blanchard. She spoke at a Republican breakfast that I was at, and she talked about this same bill too. So you're right; it's a political football. I mean, the bill has gained controversy. Anytime you mention Common Core, you can find a core of people that want to jump on that and discuss it. It's a populist thing, but it's also considered to be a very real thing. And she described it as the manner in which we get to 2 + 2, that literally the versions of math that had always worked that put men on the moon, in her words, are now considered to be relegated to the past, and you have to basically drive around the block to get 2 + 2 to actually work in accordance with new math, and it just confuses kids. And so
that's
a concern.
Actually, it's not new math, but, you know, and again, I'm not pretending to be a math expert. That's the reason I had those that are. Craft the bill and to address the needs that we have. But the understanding that I have, Phil, is that a lot of this is centered around trying to get people to, and we use the Jethro Bodine word, cipher or calculate in their minds, and when they don't have even paper available, and be able to do mathematics, with, of course, without the help of a calculator. So is it stretching people and challenging them in the classrooms? Absolutely it is. But I think that's what most people would want. Again,
all right,
I think it's turned into a boogeyman for politicians just to jump on. And again, we're talking about math. We're not talking about history, social studies, and other more subjective areas that liberals can get in and change. And
all right, so all
life.
That to say, though, the bill as it's written right now would put math coaches, as opposed to teachers, it's math coaches being placed out into the public school system. But you've already got math teachers, so talk to me about that, the expense involved with having a secondary teacher, basically, another teacher added to the classroom.
We've got these math teachers out there, and we're cotton picking 52nd in math. I mean, we're doggone last in behind the Department of Defense schools and the District of Columbia. So we've got to change something. And the math coaches, the coach scenario has worked well in literacy and is working well as that bill unfolds. And then we're looking at certainly bringing that on board with math. So anyway, it is a lot of money. You don't like to spend it, but the hope would certainly be that once we get it instilled in teachers what they need to be doing, then we can dial it back once we get experienced cadre of teachers.
And what's the,
we also have a problem in our schools of higher ed that are cranking out teachers that, quite frankly, are deficient a lot of times in how to teach math. They may do well in literacy, but they – not
well, hey, Arthur, let me ask you this, though, before we run out of time, man. We're going to hit a break here in a minute, and I want to jump in here with you. So the bottom line is, what's the price tag on this? What's LFO say, the Legislative Fiscal Office say the price tag is on this this fiscal note for this particular bill?
Right. Over the 6 or 7 years, the cost is expected to go up to close to $90 million, close to the same cost of the Literacy Act that it's having as we try to intervene and get these children able to read. It's expensive.
So 2 points here is number one, we got to do something because we're sitting there at dead last position right now. And we can't even look to our west and say thank God for Mississippi anymore, because they spend less than we do and they rank higher than us. And you know, on the one hand, I hate to spend more money, but I'm also glad to be seeing something being at least bandied about. Now, the bill, and we got about a minute here on this one, Arthur, so don't filibuster me. But if we've got this bill through the Senate, what are the odds now it's going to make it through the House? What's your sense of it?
Well, I feel good. And one last thing your listeners should know, there is a lot of accountability in the bill. and it, even a component of a school takeover. So if a school's not cutting it in literacy or math, and we inserted literacy in the Numeracy Act, then the State Department needs to come in and take it over. And it is a mandate that they take over after a period of years of trying to intervene and help.
All right. Well, listen, Arthur, can you hang on during the break? We have no choice but to take a break right now. And I'd love to come back and talk about some other legislation. You good with that?
I'm fine. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thanks. Hang on. All right. We're with State Senator Arthur Orr. Talk about some things that are happening in the legislature. How do you feel about a bill that puts math coaches to the tune of $90 million in the classrooms? I don't know. We got to do something, right? Then again, is that the ticket? Well, it's made it through the Senate, still has to make it through the House. The other question we're going to talk about when we get back, gambling. Are we going to see a gambling casino bill? It's dubious right now, but then again, I wouldn't put it past them. I want to hear Arthur's thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Let me go right back to the phones right now and jump back in there with State Senator Arthur Orr from Senate District 3 over in Morgan County over in Decatur. Hey, listen, Arthur, so I'm curious, this gambling bill, which I'll be honest with you straight up front, I tell my listeners I think it's the worst piece of legislation I've ever seen crafted by anybody, Republican or Democrat. Not because of gambling, but it's because of the way, I mean, that too, but because it does things like provides monopolies for casino operators and different things like that. Is that bill going to go anywhere this session? What's your sense of it right now?
Well, Phil, kind of like you were back in the day, I'm not in the smoky back rooms where gambling is being discussed. So all I know is that I think, given the timetable of the remaining 7 days, that it's going to be an uphill slog. Now, if the House bill that is a lottery only gets out of the House and comes to the Senate, and if the Alabama public wakes up and they really want that bill, I could see a last-minute frenzy to get a, quote, clean lottery bill on the Senate floor. Now, there would be a filibuster by all those that are vested in the video bingo world, and whether that could be overcome, I don't know. But anyway, all that to say, I think it's an uphill climb for gaming this year.
Well, I think it is too. Although I don't put anything past them. No. I don't mean the no. Legislators. I mean the actual interests who are trying to get this bill passed. But that said, too, you just mentioned it. The thing that struck me when I was down there with you was that every time a lottery bill came up, the thing that killed it was a gambling interest trying to get themselves written into it. That's what killed the lottery bill every single
time. That's correct.
Time. Well, you guys got your work cut out for you here in the coming days. 7 days left, which you guys are off this week. Is that right? Are you off this week?
That's correct.
All right. So you come back next week, and you've got what? 3 or 4 more consistent weeks of – are you going to go do three-day weeks, or are you going to go just two?
Yeah, probably going to be 2 weeks, 2 full weeks of session, and then that should be enough as long as we don't have to override any potential vetoes.
Well, right now the governor is sort of staying out of the way of everything, it seems like, so I don't know you're going to have any overrides to worry about unless you send her some kind of awful last-minute bill, but all right, State Senator Arthur Orr, thanks for hanging on during that last break and giving us a quick update on gambling. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Phil. God bless.
All right, you too. That was State Senator Arthur Orr, hails from the Decatur area. He serves Morgan, Limestone, and Madison counties. Listen, there's a lot going on in Montgomery. I got more on my stack of stuff right here that we're going to get into after the next break. And I'm just telling you, folks, you got to keep your eyes on this because a lot of the reports that I'm reading right now are very alarming. We're not seeing things coming out of Montgomery that we should, and we're seeing things that we shouldn't have to see come out of Montgomery. And that bothers me. When's the last time you saw a real tax break that you could feel? When's the last time you saw anybody talk about providing you some relief in the midst of this inflation? When's the last time you saw anybody talk about school choice in great detail like they're going to try and pass something? You know, just things like that the conservatives are supposed to be for, we're not seeing. Some of the reports that I get, by the way, come out of 1819 News. Let me just tell you right now, 1819 News, that's 1819news.com. That's one of the best go-to sources out there right now. You can look at their website right this minute and find stories you're not finding in other places. Like, did you know that somebody just sued the governor yesterday for shutting down businesses during COVID? That's new. You're not seeing that anywhere else right now. So I'm just telling you, 1819 News right now, their byline is "Rise to the Moment of Truth." And I love that. And it's a resource that I can not only make use of every day in the preparation of the show, but it's one that you can make use of. And I would encourage you, go to their website, 1819news.com. This is one of the best sources for straight up news about the state of Alabama. Things that you're hearing in other places, but you can count on 1819 not having the bias that like AL.com does. Or for that matter, stories like I mentioned a moment ago that aren't being run other places. And one of the things I really like too is the folks at 1819 News, because I know them all. 1819, they love Alabama. That's one of the things that really gets me, is they love this state. And when they report on it, they're not doing what they can to belittle it or make you feel like you shouldn't live here and make you question why they apparently live here. They love this state, and their goal, I talked to Brian Dawson, the president and CEO of 1819, and more than once I've heard him say that we're gonna report the news without bias, straight up and straight down, not going to pick the winners and losers. We're going to call the balls and strikes, and oh, by the way, we're also going to make you feel good about living in Alabama. So check them out, 1819news.com. They're one of our new sponsors. You got to go get your news from somewhere, right? 1819news.com. That's what I say. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Coming back from this break, I'm doing more on number three in the Triple Dipper, State House Machinations. What's going on in Montgomery? I'll talk about it. We'll be right back.